Dominica, a big activity planned for the New Jersey area Saturday, 26 June. You've been hearing this ad there for a few days. And Maslin Edwards, one of the main organizers there, the lead organizer of that event, an expo showcasing a lot of items made Dominican. A lot of the writers of Dominica will be there. It's a big, big, big event. And I know Maslin Edwards has been busy organizing, putting the final T's and I's, or the dots on the I's, crossing the T's, making sure that everything is crisscrossed. Maslin Edwards will be my guest here for the next few minutes on the telephone to tell us about what is going on. And maybe more, maybe more. Maslin Edwards, good afternoon to you. Always a pleasure. Good afternoon to you.
Well, good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon to you.
Hearing voice, thank you for having me, Matt.
Always a pleasure, Maslin, always a pleasure. I just wish I was there for the event.
But you were here, Matt, and you left. I want you to stay. You know, above everything else, we all wanted you to stay, but you had to go, Matt.
I had to go. You know, business is business, they say. But I'll be back soon to see you guys. But let me tell you, Maslin, let's talk about what's going on there in New Jersey. It seems there's a buzz there in the tri-state area. What's going on?
Well, Matt, the buzz is an all-Dominican book signing, Arts and Crafts and Artisanal Crafters Expo, which is tied in with a brunch and barbecue that officially starts at 10 a.m. and ends at 9 p.m. And it's taking place at 767 Stuyvesant Avenue, Irvington, New Jersey. It's a spot that is very popular. It is a spot that has hosted events before, and you will also present at some of those events, Matt, as many Dominicans.
What do you expect the Dominicans to showcase there? I mean, there are many Dominicans out there who may want to expose. Will they get the opportunity tomorrow?
Well, Matt, as you know, people have been in lockdown from COVID, and it's people from all races, all sorts of people, and that included Dominicans as well. And during that time frame, it gave Dominicans, people, and, of course, Dominicans, a different perspective on things. And persons went into creativity mode. And some persons turned out to be writers. Some went out to designing things of their own, to creating things of their own, to working on more products, because there was the time available for that. Some people went into sewing, like masks and clothes making and what have you. And those are so many products. There are so many products that are there, and it needs to be they need to be discovered, as well as the entrepreneurs and the skilled Dominicans need to be discovered. And that is one of the reasons why I organized this expo. Also, it gives us an opportunity to come together as a people. Because everything and everyone have been on lockdown for so long that we have not really met at any form of event, no Dominican events, nothing. And it's a time to get out. It's a time to break loose, to shake off the drab, to put on your national or your cultural wear, and and get your best, flat shoes out and come and, celebrate our Dominicanness, celebrate our culture, celebrate each other, let us patronize and support, each other's, efforts, and in one culminative spirit, in the Dominican spirit, in the colors of the Cicero parrot, in the colors of our Dominican flag. We are going to do that on Saturday, 26th.
But tell me, how have people been responding? Is there a rush to get a table there?
Oh, Matt, people have been so incensed that I, you know, even after I put a deadline, I closed off because, we have to exercise all the COVID and protocols because we are still in a pandemic. And you can't put tables up, on tables. So even when I cut off, people were still calling. People still wanted tables. So right at this time, we have, there are 16 participants. 16 tables and 21 participants. And people are just incensed. The participants, they are just ready to showcase what they have, to promote what they have, to sell what they have. And I think the Dominican public, and, not only the Dominican public, but, the people who will attend the event, the non-Dominicans, they're just willing to indulge in that, in the productivity, the production of Dominicans, the natural produce. That's, the natural products that came from natural produce.
But tell me, we're talking about every type of product there on the table.
Yes,
A variety
of products. Yeah, you have books, both adults and children. And of course, we have our, Dominican writers. There are quite a few of them. And I don't know if I have enough time to go through the list of names and what have you, Matt. Maybe, this is going to take up,
Maybe we'll have a little more time, maybe on Saturday morning. But, what it is. But before you go, Marston, I know we are quite excited about what's going on Saturday. I need you as an expert. I can refer to you as an expert on one particular subject, which is insurance. Your pass on the writer there for the insurance companies in Dominica. I had some sad news yesterday, Marston, and I wanted to get a quick comment from you. Maybe we'll expound it sometime tomorrow, but I just want to get a quick comment from you. This is the news I heard coming on the Nation station this morning.
This follows a report to the court by judicial manager Michael Tony, a chartered accountant of Trinidad and Tobago. The High Court further ordered that Tony should become a liquidator of the company with all the powers and duties of liquidators conferred by the Insurance Act and Companies Act. This empowered Mr. Tony to take possession of the company's books and assets and vested all of the property in the liquidator. The High Court ruled that all pending actions and proceedings and the execution of all writs, summonses, and other processes against the company be stayed and not proceeded with unless otherwise ordered by the court. A release from the company stated that the principal responsibility of the liquidator is to convert any assets of the company into cash and to settle its debts. It said at this early stage of the process, the liquidator is unable to make any comment as to what sums may be available to settle such obligations. The offices of the company will be closed with effect from Friday, June 25. The public has been assured that the liquidator intends to make every effort to carry out the process as quickly and efficiently as possible and to act in the best interest of the creditors.
Jaya Pendeng from DBS Radio reporting from the on a court event there that is very, very sad for many of us who know First Domestic very well. You are a former employee. How do you feel about this news?
That comes not really as a shock, but more or less like a disappointment.
A disappointment.
Having worked part-time for First Domestic while I was contracted with Life of Barbados, now Surgical Life Incorporated. I saw the birth of First Domestic and the blossoming of a successful indigenous property insurance company and the creation of the first local insurance company on island. A local company owned by Curtis Tong, who was my first boss and my former boss, who invested in the local people. You know, people he employed, people he trained, you know, so many, he trained so many Dominicans, you know, to become professional people. And when I say trained, I mean, this is a man that was big on training, and including myself. And he trained so many professionals so that, you know, this, we could, you know, assist within the insurance industry. And that company could have and should have been preserved to continue providing employment and service to Dominicans, and you know, as well as you know, to be part of the growth engine where our economy is concerned. But Matt, we did not see that happen, and this is very sad. Now, what I have to ask, the question I ask is, how do you give resources to all foreign crooks and criminals, and all local entrepreneurs lose their businesses and their assets? What happened during Hurricane Maria was a catastrophe, I agree. We had never seen a hurricane of that magnitude where it decimated so many properties all at once. Did the first domestic insurance company have sufficient reinsurance, Matt? I don't think so. But that is a whole discussion by itself. But even so, notwithstanding, what happened was a catastrophe. It is not a situation where Curtis Tong ran off with the money. And if I may draw a comparison, Matt, to that situation, when someone insures their property, take for example, and I'm just using the name of a, you know, business, Caraway Hotel. If the insured value was, say, $1.5 million, and that property was insured for 10 years, let's say at a premium, and I'm just using illustrative numbers, at a premium of $20,000 annually. Well, in the event of a disaster, let's say that property was insured for 10 years. In the event of a disaster, the company, well, Garwood Hotel would have paid, you know, actually, they would have paid like $200,000 over the 10-year period. But in the event of a disaster, that $200,000 in premium is just a small fraction of what of the cost to replace that property.
A drop in the bucket.
Claim. Yes, after 10 years. And that's the reason the local insurance company must reinsure that liability with a bigger insurance company. And that is what we call reinsurance. But what has been happening in the Caribbean, and not, you know, that's in the Caribbean, it's hurricanes are becoming worse, and as a result, the Caribbean has become like a catastrophe in the Caribbean. And, you know, reinsurance is, you know, is very costly. But what happened when Hurricane Maria hit Dominica? No one was prepared for that. We had never seen a hurricane of that magnitude. So because of the nature of you know, the fact that this is our own indigenous business, it was our first local property insurance or fire insurance company on island. I believe that more should have been done to preserve those businesses.
I'll tell you what, we can talk a little more about that. I want to hear all the more, Maslin. We can expound on that discussion. Very interesting discussion. Very, very sad news for Dominica. First Domestic is no more based on the information we just getting. So, Maslin, let's have a conversation sometime tomorrow. We have the opposition leader in the house, and we'll continue having that conversation tomorrow. Thank you, Maslin Edwards. And good luck with the event this weekend. All right, thank you. Thank you.
Yes, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, too. Thank you. Let's explore that a little more tomorrow. First Domestic is no more. Did you hear the news? We'll play that for you again.
And apple cherry.
This follows a report to the court by judicial manager Michael Tooney, a chartered accountant of Trinidad and Tobago. The High Court further ordered that Tony should become a liquidator of the company, with all the powers and duties of liquidators conferred by the Insurance Act and Companies Act. This empowered Mr. Tony to take possession of the company's books and assets and vested all of the property in the liquidator. The High Court ruled that all pending actions and proceedings and the execution of all writs, summonses, and other processes against the company be stayed and not proceeded with unless otherwise ordered by the court. A release from the company stated that the principal responsibility of the liquidator is to convert any assets of the company into cash and to settle its debts. It said at this early stage of the process, the liquidator is unable to make any comment as to what sums may be available to settle such obligations. The offices of the company will be closed with effect from Friday, June 25. The public has been assured that the liquidator intends to make every effort to carry out the process as quickly and efficiently as possible and to act in the best interest of the creditors.
All right, Dominica, we'll explore that story sometime tomorrow a little more. Talking to the insurance experts. Who knows, we may find Mr. Curtis Town. I know it's sad times. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Curtis Tong and Mrs. Tong and Mr. Robert Tong, yes? A former government minister who many think at this time could have done something. Who could have spoken to the Prime Minister and the colleagues to save that company. But that's another question. 106 in the house with me. There's Mr. Opposition Leader. So many issues, so little time. So Mr. Lennox Linton will speak to us about the current issues of the day, and I'm sure many guys waiting, you know, because they're saying they waiting on Monday to see how Mr. Lennox will be treated in Parliament based on what they heard from the opposition there in Antigua. I'm sure some of the questions will come up for sure on Monday in Parliament. But Mr. Lennox is here. Lennox Linton, the opposition leader. The Honorable Lennox Linton. Good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing? How are you doing?
Matt Peltier, good afternoon to you.
How are you?
Welcome back to Dominica.
Good to be back, my brother.
Trusted all as well?
Yeah, well, we have some things to do. Yes, sir. But we have some things to follow up. But, you know, going where it should be.
God bless. Matt, the Parliament is meeting on Monday, 28th. I hear you say that there's some level of public expectation regarding what will happen there, especially given some video from the Antigua Parliament that has been in the public domain over the past 24 hours.
Yep.
Well, I think Dominicans need to understand that our Parliament
is different.
The Dominica Parliament is different to all the other parliaments in the world. It's a unique creature, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And what I saw happening in the Antigua Parliament, where the opposition leader was able to stand up and rattle off 5-6 questions, one after the other, to the Prime Minister, it doesn't happen, cannot happen in this Parliament. First of all, we are restricted to 3 questions for oral answer in the Parliament.
3 questions?
3 questions. Each person in the Parliament is restricted to 3 questions for oral answer in the Parliament. And those questions have to be submitted at least 14 days in advance of the sitting of the Parliament. All right?
14 days.
14 days. Now, we in the opposition, we never know when there is going to be a meeting of the Parliament. They are not regularly scheduled meetings of the Parliament. In Antigua, the Parliament meets regularly, if it's monthly, or in Barbados, if it's weekly, in Trinidad and Tobago. And so there are regular meetings of the Parliament. We have an irregular meeting schedule for the parliament. There's no parliament calendar to say, well, we know well in advance every third Monday or every fourth Monday of each month in 2021, the parliament is going to meet. That's not the case at all. So these meetings of parliament are irregular, and only the government side knows when they're going to call parliament or if they're going to call parliament. So with the questions now, what they do is, whenever we get notice for a meeting of parliament, it is already too late to submit any questions for that meeting.
I get you.
Meaning that while we have 14 days, we must submit the question 14 days before. The clerk of the house can give us 12 days notice for the meeting of parliament. So once they stick us to 12 days notice, which the rules allow, there's a lacuna now, which prevents us from submitting questions for that specific meeting of the parliament that has been announced, because once we get 12 days notice for the meeting,
you missed it.
We already cannot submit a question because we need 14 days to submit the question. So we really have to be sending questions into the parliament blind, not knowing when the meeting is going to be. We have questions, so we send them in. And sometimes, as you can imagine, it would be necessary for you to know. When you know the meeting of parliament is coming up, then you can submit a question.
Prepare.
Especially about something that is happening right now that is live. So, no, don't look for anything like what you saw in the Antigua Parliament.
Unlikely that any choxy question will come up.
No, well, a choxy question is unlikely to come up simply for the reason that I told you.
But, Mr. Lennox Linton, and I'm sure many Dominicans want to know how you feel. This is not Parliament. You can ask, come to Q95 and ask any questions anytime. You don't need 14 days. So what would be the questions that you would like to ask to Parliament?
Why did the administration of Roosevelt Skerrett choose to embroil itself in this international scandal and shame and disgrace the name of Dominica around the global community as a country that is fighting against the rule of law, foundation for justice and peace around the world, and to the extent of being involved in and condoning kidnapping and torturing of an accused person to move him from one jurisdiction, one part of the same jurisdiction of the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court to the next, in order to short-circuit an extradition proceeding.
You say condone?
Yeah, I say condone. I also say collaborate. The facts before us, Matt, do not allow us, with the common sense that God has blessed us with, to arrive at any other conclusion. A man of Indian descent is living in Antigua since 2018, having acquired citizenship by investment in Antigua. The Prime Minister of Antigua acknowledges him as a citizen by investment of Antigua. The Indian government want him in India to face charges on some accusations that have been made against him. So an application is filed for extradition. It is in the court in Antigua. The matter is live. And while they're waiting for that matter in Antigua to be determined, the gentleman is kidnapped, abducted.
You have no doubt about that?
No, I have absolutely no doubt about that. Abducted from Antigua and forced against his will, put on a boat, ferried to Dominica. And here are the circumstances in Dominica which tell you that the government is directly involved in the kidnap of Mehul Choksi. The boat, Calliope Van, St. Lucian registered, operated by a Vincentian boat captain, and including a crew, the owner of the boat himself, plus another crew member. So there are three members of crew. and there are two passengers. That is the boat on which Mehul Choksi came to Dominica. But he is the only person whose name is not declared on the manifest. The three passengers are declared, the two passengers are declared, the crew members are declared. Mehul Choksi is not declared, but they brought him from Antigua to Dominica. When he gets into Dominican waters, outside of Portsmouth, the Coast Guard vessel goes out to meet Calliope Van. And he's transferred from Calliope Van to the Coast Guard vessel and brought to land in Portsmouth area. Whether it's Tukari or whether it's Picard, immaterial.
Wherever.
He was brought to land in Dominica by the Coast Guard vessel. And on arriving on land in Dominica, he was met by senior police officers, one of whom told him that he is wanted in India and he's going to be sent back to India. That was the initial conversation. 24th of May, 2021. So, it is clear that the people on the boat had a mission to take the abducted, the kidnapped Choksi from Antigua to Dominica and to deliver him to the law enforcement authorities because they received him from his alleged kidnappers. What does that say to you, Matt Peltier? What does that say to you, the people out there, the Christians of good conscience, the persons in our community who have been blessed with God's gift of common sense? 24th of May. The following day is the 25th. And something very interesting surfaces on the 25th in the form of a declaration by the National Security Minister that this gentleman is a prohibited immigrant who is not permitted to enter Dominica, and in respect of whom the police chief has been instructed to arrange for his repatriation. Remember the day before, senior police officers told him that he's wanted and he's going to be repatriated. Now the National Security Minister declares him a prohibited immigrant, a prohibited immigrant, cannot come into Dominica, and who now must wait for the police chief, the chief of police, to make arrangements for his repatriation. How did the National Security Minister know that this gentleman was in Dominica? And who requested of the National Security Minister that he should be declared a prohibited immigrant? Unless we have a new situation in Dominica now where the National Security Minister goes to bed every night and wakes up every morning making inquiries about who is at the border that he should declare prohibited immigrant. Somebody have had to make a request. However, it has come to light that the police officer with responsibility for immigration, from where you would think that request for declaration of prohibited immigrant should come, did not know who the gentleman was until the 28th of May, when he claims he saw the driver's license, the Antigua driver's license of Mehul Choksi. How could your immigration not know who the man was? But 3 days before they found out or confirmed his identity, you, the National Security Minister, are issuing a prohibited immigrant order, declaration. You have done that. You have asked absolutely no question to the people who brought him in. They were not prohibited. They were allowed to come into the country. In the case of the crew members, they were allowed to stay in the waters overnight. In any other case of that nature,
the boat captain would have some very serious questions to answer. They asked him nothing at all. They thanked him.
And allowed him to leave.
Thanked him for bringing their abducted Mehul Choksi to them. Their work was done. It's now the turn of the Dominica law enforcement and the ruling party politicians to do what had been agreed to be done. So I have no question in my mind, Matt.
So he did condone.
That this government and law enforcement were involved in the plan to kidnap Mehul Choksi in Antigua and to bring him to Dominica, where they would arrange for him to be put on a plane, sent by India and brought back to India, which would be the completion of the short-circuiting of the extradition process that had commenced in Antigua, and as far as the Indian authorities were concerned, was taking too long. This is not rule of law behavior. And we need to stop it.
So their plans blew up there?
Well, the plans blew up. It appeared that the plane was late. I don't know why the plane was late. And it also appears that while nobody was supposed to know about this, and it was supposed to be done quietly, somehow Loftus-Durand, Q95, got wind of it and read out some questions one morning. I think it may have been the Tuesday or the Wednesday morning to the police authority, asking them, well, hey, what's going on? And the fact that it was now out in public sent the players who had their roles well conscripted for them, who had those individuals backtracking and trying to cover tracks. We heard a press release from the Ministry of National Security, the same Ministry of National Security whose minister issued the declaration of a prohibited immigrant on the 25th. On the 27th, the National Security Ministry is indicating in the press release that they're talking to the authorities in Antigua, and once the citizenship, the Antiguan citizenship of Mehul Choksi can be confirmed, then he will be returned to Antigua. Well, the Prime Minister of Antigua has said repeatedly that Mehul Choksi is an Antiguan citizen. The government does not know that. The Minister of National Security does not know that. A month after Choksi arrived in Dominica, notwithstanding the numerous statements by Gaston Brong over the past month indicating that Mehul Choksi is an Antiguan citizen and entitled to constitutional protections and the privileges of rule of law in that country, which is why he was happy that Mehul Choksi was somehow ended up in Dominica, so that it is now Dominica's problem, where he does not enjoy the same rights and privileges in Dominica as he does in Antigua and Barbuda. Classic collaboration, classic collusion of the government in this international scandal. Because there's another dimension. It has to do with the names of persons out of London who are involved in this. It is weeks now since it has been disclosed in the media in India and elsewhere that one of the players involved in this kidnap and forced transfer to Dominica is a senior official of CS Global Partners, the very same company that gets a commission on every single passport of Dominica sold. The very same company. And you know, up till now, not a single word from the government on that matter. It is also in the public domain from these reports that the gentleman in question actually made a trip to Dominica on a private plane from Antigua the very same night that Mehul Choksi was abducted in Antigua. You never read that story? You never read that one?
No, I haven't
read it. Where Barbara Harabik,
I think I got the name.
The lady who is supposed to have trapped Mehul Choksi.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman, this operative, of one of our passport selling agents is taking a private plane and flying into Dominica the very evening that Mehul Choksi was kidnapped in Antigua and put on a boat for his forced transfer to Dominica.
Just some breaking news, Jay, just for, we're just hearing, we've heard the name Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani.
His license
New York law license suspended.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to drop that there.
For demonstrably false statements about, to the court, about the 2020 elections in the United States. And that is the recommendation of a panel of justices that sat and determined that we need to get rid of you for the time being. You need to answer some questions about these lies you've been telling. I know of attorneys who have been making demonstrably false statements to the courts in these parts. Rather than hold them accountable for these demonstrably false statements and undermining the rule of law in the court, where they are officers of the court, they continue to enjoy high standing and reputation in the courts. I am going to see whether this temporary suspension of Giuliani's New York law license at least will give us pause and ask us to consider whether we have a responsibility to ensure that especially senior counsels do not lie to our courts in this region, do not mislead our courts in the region as they have been wont to do so demonstrably in the past. But to come back to the matter.
Well, let's take a break before you do. Before you do, I know, you know, a tight grip there. And everybody's listening, full attention here this afternoon to the Talk on the Block. We'll come back. We'll come back after this.
Attention! We're a go for rocket launch.
Roger.
Engines ready.
Jay Daddy.
Liftoff in 3, 2, 1.
Chief, breakfast is ready.
Ooh, launch postponed.
Give yourself a strong start to the day with Dutch Lady. Milk with essential nutrients, calcium, vitamins, and protein. Dutch Lady, building strong families since 1871.
New Jersey and the Tri-State area is coming your way. The biggest daytime activity for the summer, June 26, 2021.
You heard me right.
June 26, 2021, 767 Gallon Brunch and first open Gallon Book signing at Craft Expo with writers from Dominica, Artisan Crafters. Experience Dominica. Get a taste of the Nature Island, the best kept secret in the Caribbean. Take the address down, 767 Stuyvesant Avenue, Irvington, New Jersey, and find your way. Come, feed on your appetite. From 10 a.m. in the morning, and a full Dominican menu, cut fish and green bananas, stewed bacconets, and more, an evening barbecue with Dominican music and your favorite DJ. DJ Lolo, put your mask and wear something Dominican. All COVID-19 protocols will be observed as you shop, patronize, and be a Dominican at the biggest daytime activity for the summer, June 26, 767 Stuyvesant Avenue, Irvington, New Jersey, a Dominican brunch. Be there. Be there. Be there. Be there.
Mega, mega, mega deals.
Breaking news out of Calabasas today. Quality clothing, electronics, and hardware at low, low, low prices. There's also women and children's clothing. Brand name clothing. Lacoste, Levi's, Alfani, CK, just to name a few. Brand name clothing at low, low, low prices. The big story is in Calabasas, next to the Catholic Church. A mega store. Mega, mega, mega deals. 25 to 50% less than anywhere in Dominica.
Salisbury, the Patriots are coming your way Saturday, June 26th. The big day, 5 p.m., Salisbury.
We the people demand accountability and transparency from this government. International Airport, yes. Contract with MMCE without accountability, no. No detailed technical studies, no financing plan, no public consultation, no public tendering. Respect the Western people and the people of Dominica. Come together.
Saturday, June 26th, 5 p.m., Salisbury.
It's a We the People event. So come, we are stronger together. So be there. So be there. So be there.
Have you heard? J.R. Stefan's home and building has a huge sale.
30% off weather-resilient windows. Choose from a wide selection of sliding windows, sash windows, PVC sash, casement windows, and so much more. Offer valid while stocks last. What are you waiting for? Hurry down to J. Estefan's Home and Building at the Focale Industrial Site. Call today, 767-255-2769 or 235-2754. J. Estefan's, right place, right price.
Madam.
Esau Trading Limited announces the arrival of a wide assortment of delicious Libby's box juice drinks. Apple, orange, fruit punch, guava pineapple, and apple cherry. All in 200 ml juice box sizes. And apple, orange, and fruit punch in 1 liter boxes. Libby's box juice drinks prices start as low as $1.65. Visit Esau Trading Limited today and get top quality products at unbeatable prices. Esau Trading Limited is making a difference for you.
Dominicans, Dominicans, enjoy your property, protect your property. You homeowner and businessman, protect your property, enjoy your property. For the hurricane, can't wait till you flood again, can't wait till your roof fly out and all your business coming out.
Remember, no insurance company will insure your property when a storm is approaching. Get ahead of the hurricane season and insure with a company who gives you the assurance of payment for your valid claim. Come speak with us today at the New India Assurance Company Limited, upstairs AC Shillingford and Company Limited, 24 King George 5th Street, Roseau. Bring along an up-to-date valuation from a qualified engineer and get insured today.
It's 1:31. This is the talk on the block. Lennox Choksi returns to court tomorrow. And I'm being told, I was told by Lofty, who was following the story very, very closely, Loftus Duran, the lawyers have some new rules given by the deputy police commissioner that they are allowed to visit from, you know, from 9 to 2, I think it was. Family members in Dominica also, Choksi's family members. So the story is getting bigger and bigger. Where do you see it going, Lennox? Where do you see it going? What has to happen at this time?
Well, what has to happen at this time is very simple. This matter is no business of Dominica. This matter is between the government and law enforcement in India, the accused gentleman, Mehul Choksi, and Antigua and Barbuda, where he legitimately took citizenship by investment in Antigua and Barbuda and has been living there since 2018. This is not our matter.
Send him back.
And the process to send him back is very simple. The people who are prosecuting him in Dominica, meaning the police, prosecuting him on the charge of illegal entry into Dominica, after they received him into the country from his kidnappers and asked the kidnappers no question. The very same police who received him into the country are charging him for illegal entry into Dominica, having ignored his abductors and those who brought him to Dominica against his will, only to hand him over to law enforcement for them to then turn around and charge him with illegal entry. What has to happen now is that that prosecution needs to end. And it can end simply by going into the court and agreeing to a consent order that Mr. Choksi should be returned forthwith
to Antigua and Barbuda, and let the due process that had already commenced there with respect to his extradition to India run its course. That is what the rule of law demands that we do. And I do not know, Matt, since when we are so interested in Dominica in bringing fugitives from other parts of the world to justice, or accuse the persons from other parts of the world to justice. When Iran wanted Alireza Monfared to face charges in Tehran, we harbored him here knowing fully well that the Iranian government wanted him, and ignoring requests from friendly governments like Cuba that were trying to influence us that he should be given up to the authorities in Iran to face charges. This is a man who held a Dominica diplomatic passport and who in 2015, December, was picked up by Malaysian police authorities for the Iranians. And when they did that, he told them, well, I'm a diplomat. Diplomat of where? He says, I'm a Dominica diplomat. I am the ambassador for Dominica in Malaysia. The police authorities in Malaysia called the Dominica High Commission in London and were able to confirm that, yes, this man is the holder of a Dominica diplomatic passport. He is an ambassador for Dominica in Malaysia. And the police released him. He immediately left Malaysia and headed straight to Dominica, where he resided for about 6 months before he moved to the Dominican Republic. At no point did the government, who knew he was wanted, lifted a single finger to get him back to where he was wanted to stand trial. He went back there. He faced trial. He's in jail. He's serving a 20-year jail term with an order that he repays over $2 billion to the state of Iran. So we had that on our doorstep. We did nothing. But now we're making a backdoor entry into this matter involving India, Mehul Choksi, and Antigua. We're making a backdoor entry into it by collaborating with and condoning kidnapping, torture, and forced transfer from one country in the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court jurisdiction to the next, just to short-circuit the process of extradition on behalf of India. Why would India want us to do that? Why are we being pressured to do that? And why is the government subjecting itself to the pressures in that regard? And this matter, Matt, of the consent order, it's very simple, you know. On the 26th of May, two senior police officers went to Mehul Choksi with a form, a consent form, for him to sign to be repatriated. They went to him to sign. He wanted his lawyers to see the form. The police officers refused. And he didn't see Antigua anywhere on the form. So he felt that the police officers were trying to trick him. He didn't sign it. So this idea of a consent order has already surfaced, with the very police themselves who are prosecuting him for illegal entry. And all they have to do is to say the consent is, what we are consenting to is that you are going to go back to Antigua, and that story ends for Dominica. Ends. So all of this intrigue that we're involved with now, where we are standing up against the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, it would appear, and all of a sudden now, the man is being restricted, his access to his lawyers is being restricted. I don't know where it says that if you need to see a lawyer at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you can, because it's, you're only permitted between 9 and 2 to see lawyers. What is that? Where does that come from? What now is this thing about the access? I heard Lofty talking this morning about the restriction of access, members of his family who are in Dominica and so on. So clearly, when you hear all that, you hear a government and a law enforcement authority that is now bent on punishing the man. A man who, by the way, has done us nothing. He has done Dominica absolutely nothing. Okay?
India wants him, and I heard I heard Brian this morning doing some calculations. Very interesting. I have a slightly different take on those calculations because I'm hearing some numbers. These numbers are, I think mention has been made of $2.5 billion in terms of the bank and some other things that happened. Well, $2.5 billion is just about just under $2 US per head of population in India.
India. Mm-hmm.
$2 US, that is $5.40 thereabout, EC. Right? We have in Dominica a situation where Skerrit and one of his friends are holding unconstitutionally and unlawfully outside of our consolidated fund, $2.5 billion EC dollars. So when you bring that down now to the per head of population calculation, when you bring that down to the per capita calculation, we come to those people have a calculator outside, they can do that. Matt, let's do the calculation. 2.5 billion dollars. I put it in there. I have it. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 zeros, a 5, a 2. That's 2.5 billion, right? Divide that by 70,000 if we have that much people living in Dominica. 70,000. Yep. $35,700.
Every Dominican.
$35,700 for every one of 70,000 Dominicans. That is what we're not fighting for. But we have our government fighting for $5.40 per head of population in India, if that is what it comes down to. When did we come somebody else's fool? I don't understand this, Matt. I don't understand it.
Let's take a few questions and callers here this afternoon. We don't have too much time, and I know the telephones will be going crazy. There are a few other issues to discuss, but you know, time does not permit. Dominica, the numbers are 449-3095, 449-3096, 449-3097.
What's that? You think India will help us resolve this $35,700 EC dollars per head of population that has been misappropriated?
I think we'll get help. Given not only from India, this story have many legs around every country around the world. Somebody will answer some questions. 449-3095-96 and 97. Let's take a phone call. Hello, yes.
Hey, Mr. Pelte, good afternoon. Blessings to you. Mr. Linton, blessings to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
I think you're doing us a disservice, Mr. Linton. Mr. Linton, even if it's twice a month, we want our between you and me back because I'm hearing it on Kyrie, on Q-Day this afternoon. And we don't like that thing you just come in and take a little back tea and then you're flying off like a bird. We want a couple hours of between you and me. Just quickly, the whole twinning of the Dominican Labour Party and the Chinese Communist Party, as you talk about the parliament. We does not have a parliament. It's the whole fashion of China. And one man who does what he wants, like, why is his name? I forget the thing name. But really and truly, with that choxy matter, my brethren, the way you dissected the whole thing, the way you just exposing the whole thing, my brethren, it's only a fool or somebody who is quite naive or ignorant, whatever the case may be, who cannot comprehend or understand what it is, my brethren, that is clear as day, and we are in a lot of trouble. And Mr. Linton, I might call you and ask you, do you have about the test flight now, Mr. Linton, American Airlines?
Yes.
Yeah. I hope it's not Matt they planning to take and do with him. Have a blessing.
All right, caller, thank you very much. It's a test flight, from my information, to see if we can take flights directly from Florida. That's the information I'm getting there. Mm-hmm. So American flight welcomed American Eagle. I think it's going to accommodate, from my information, about 78 persons.
77?
78, 77. But we'll talk a little more about that. But let's take another phone call. Hello, talk to me, yeah? I didn't expect to start off sometime.
How you doing?
How are you doing, my brother?
I'm good. Hi, Mr. Linton. Mr. Linton, do you think it was a mistake that Chris Kalen made when he gave the Indian man a passport? Was that a mistake on his part? Not doing background
check? No. Hold on. Take your time. I'm not hearing the question.
I said, do you think it was a mistake that Chris Kalen made when he issued a passport for him? Did he do a background check?
I do not know anything about that.
Passport to who? Passport to who?
To the Indian man. Because I think
I don't know that you know that he has a Dominican passport. Do you know he has a Dominican passport? Or does he?
Matt, with all the investigation you guys been doing, nobody want to know who issued him the passport.
Who issued who the passport?
It would be the first. Mr. Choksi, what agency?
But the passport is not a Dominican passport.
Listen to yourself.
It is an Antiguan passport, and the Prime Minister of Antigua has claimed responsibility for the grant of citizenship by investment to Mehul Choksi. What is the issue?
But through what agency did he get it?
I don't know.
We know, or you don't know?
No, I don't know.
I think that's something you don't know. Okay, thanks a lot.
I don't know, he's just running around.
So what turns on that? Antigua may have three or four different agencies, like Dominica has different agencies under which people get passport. What turns on that? He has a passport of Antigua. He's a citizen by investment. That's acknowledged by the Prime Minister of Antigua.
Why do we have to know who gave him a passport in Antigua?
Yeah, but he's talking about investigation, and we're doing investigations. What is the... I don't understand.
My friend, you seem lost there this afternoon. 1:46 is the afternoon time. Let's go to the telephone. Yes.
Good afternoon to you.
Brother. Good afternoon, my brother. Good afternoon.
I hope your parents are over there. They're okay.
Everybody good.
Honorable Enoch Clinton.
Yeah. And please get closer to your telephone.
Yeah. You hear me clearly?
I'm a little clear.
I'm just sitting down here, thinking. I'm just thinking.
Yes.
And I want you to listen to me carefully.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, in the time of Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
He ordered the Navy SEAL to go get Osama bin Laden. You remember that?
Yeah.
He brought back his body in a body bag.
Okay.
If the Indian government wants that brother Choksi, whatever name he is, I am afraid. I'm thinking. I don't want anybody to get me wrong. I'm just thinking that couldn't the Indian government ordered their regiment, their army, their navy still to come here and pick up that man? Couldn't they order that? And it can be detriment to us, but we don't have a force in Dominica. Number one, we have a police force, but not a military force. And I would hate to know this is happening to my country. Understand me? I'm not the authority.
So you're basically saying, Parkett, that this is bringing shame to your country?
Not necessarily, not only that, my friend, but what I'm saying is I'm scared that the big guys up there send their big guys to get the man by force in Dominica, and no matter how many civilian or maybe police that be killed just to get the man out of Dominica to be in there. Understand me? That can happen. And that's what I'm afraid of.
Oh, so you're putting that scenario there. 1:48, hello, talk to me.
Matt and Mr. Linton, I don't know what Packet is trying, because the government is colluding with India. They want to hand over Mr. Choksi. The reason they did not hand over Mr. Choksi is because the news got out and it ended up in the courts. And they're still trying to deliver Mr. Choksi. They're colluding. And it's obvious. Anyway, I want to thank the opposition leader for standing up for us. I was just shocked to hear the opposition leader find questions in Parliament and the Prime Minister humbly, a lippy Prime Minister like Gaston Brown, if I may say so, humbly answering every question that was posed by the opposition leader. And we're not seeing that in our part.
Well, you heard Mr. Lennox Linton saying he may not get a chance to ask the questions because he needs 14 days. Hello, talk to me. Hi.
other questions. Are you there?
Yes, Matt, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, my brother.
And good afternoon, Mr. Linton, our champion, Matt.
Good afternoon, sir.
All I'm calling to say is to thank the Honorable Lennox Linton for the hard work and for sacrificing his life and his security, his family for Dominican. We appreciate it. And let me say the donation button on UWP website is working very fine now, Mr. Linton. So thank you again for that, because you have been for the donation. But it's working very good.
Thank you, Mr.
And
Bob Marley.
Keep fighting, my brother. You are our champion and 100% behind you. Thank you so much.
All right, more telephone calls. God bless you too. Yes.
Hello, Matt. Good afternoon.
To you, sir.
Matt, I want to ask a question.
You can ask a question.
Do we have an Indian community in Dominica?
Indian community? We have a few Indians here, but you're talking
a
about
few Indians.
A commissioner, you want to say? An ambassador?
No,
a few Indians. A few like Indians. A few Indians.
Many Indians.
I don't know about many. I think a few Indians would
right.
be a better
Matt,
word.
In Guadeloupe, our neighbor there, have an Indian community. Now, if they wanted to send Choksi back to India in some kind of good collaborative way, they could have just dropped Choksi in Guadeloupe, and the Indian community would contact the Indian people and they would get Choksi back to India. But they bypass Guadeloupe because the French is a mess. The French would investigate more than what they had say. They bypass Guadeloupe and they come to Dominica. We have no Indian community here. These guys have a bubble and a dirty plan. And is that working? We want to know where the money comes from and who is behind it. I think this is the question. Bye-bye.
Lennox Linton, do you think this plan that they had for Choksi backfired?
They botched it. They did not successfully execute it, but it is clear from the behavior of government ministers in Dominica, it is clear from the conduct of law enforcement that they were in on this plan to abduct Choksi, kidnap him in Antigua, and bring him over to Dominica. They were waiting for him when he came. They knew he was coming. And that is the only reason why the boat captain has been asked no questions, neither has his crew, neither. And the gentlemen who were on board the boat, who a month before in April were refused entry into Dominica because the Joint Regional Communication Center in Barbados advised that they appeared to be involved in human smuggling and they should not be allowed to enter the country, right? They were denied entry a month before, and then when they came with Choksi, they were embraced and sent in to the country as though nothing happened. So it is Choksi that the police authority and the government ministers were interested in at all material times. And they have some... By the way, Matt, has anybody asked the question why we didn't have any Anu Pale Sot
on that
Sunday
day.
Night, the 23rd of May? Has anybody inquired into the whereabouts of the Prime Minister on that 23rd of May? The media in Dominica, has anybody from the media reported to the Indian media? Because I understand that the Indian media is very active in Dominica. Lots of
very,
journalists
very active.
With gigs from this one, Republic TV, India Today, ANI, CNN 18. Down the line, everybody has a reporter on the
a
ground
piece of
in
the
Dominica.
Pilot.
Has anybody been inquiring where the Prime Minister was on the night of the 23rd of May? And why is it that on that night there was no Anu Pale Sot? Who did the Prime Minister meet with wherever the Prime Minister was? Did he by any chance meet with anybody who came in from overseas, and for what purpose?
Good questions. The hello, talk
good
to me.
Good question. Next question.
Hello, yes. Hi, talk to me. Yes.
Mr. Linton, good day, sir. I'm so glad to hear from you this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And I've been longing for you to clear the air on certain things concerning that matter with Mr. Choksi. Mr. Linton, one of the things that I wanted you to clear the air on and to at least make us understand, you know, like, is there a process that you have to go through in order to obtain a passport, like through the bi-citizenship program, you know? Because one of the things that they were claiming, Gaston Brown was claiming, is that Mr. Choksi, yes, he had a passport, but he didn't give up his Indian citizenship in order to become a real citizen of Antigua. So they're supposed to send him back to India. That's what I understand based on the news, based on what I hear. You know, so if you could clear the air on that, like make us know what is the process, and if and make us know that if Mr. Choksi goes through all the right channels in order of obtaining that that passport that he has.
Yeah, well, that matter is really for Antigua. Let me say that I have read in the media that Mehul Choksi applied like many other persons apply for citizenship in Antigua and went through the process. Like here in Dominica, when you apply for citizenship, they take you through a process of due diligence. Antigua claims that due diligence was done on Mehul Choksi. And actually, they have word from the Foreign Affairs Ministry in Delhi and from the police authority at the time that he applied, indicating that he was a fit and proper person to hold a passport or to receive visa privileges and so on from another country, etc. So law enforcement effectively, as far as I'm reading, cleared him to have citizenship in Antigua and Barbuda. I've been hearing as well about this law, the citizenship law in India, and Article 9, which provides that once you take citizenship of another country, you automatically forfeit your Indian citizenship. But that's just the surface. There may be a process involved which requires you to come and renounce. So I don't know those details. And in fact, very interestingly, that was going to be the next phase of the trial, the extradition trial in Antigua, where both sides agreed that they would bring expert witnesses to the court on the question of the interpretation of Article 9 of the citizenship law of India. Because some people are saying this and other people are saying that. So the court would hear sometime in November this year arguments on the interpretation of Article 9 and the automatic revocation or forfeiting of citizenship if you get the citizenship of another country. So those matters are what's in front of us here, and those matters are being debated in the court. I have no doubt in my mind that Mehul Choksi, in the very same way as many people purchase Antiguan citizenship, and thousands, 15,477 persons purchased citizenship in Dominica for the three-year period ended the 30th of June, 2020. I have no doubt in my mind that just like all of those people, he went through the procedure to be named and to receive the citizenship of Antigua and Barbuda. And the Prime Minister of Antigua does acknowledge that.
On the telephone.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you.
I call to quote the Bible in Exodus chapter 14, where I talk about Moses at the Red Sea. And Daniel chapter 4, talk about Nebuchadnezzar. Their hearts were very obstinate, and God dealt with them. So we have a matter like here in Choksi's case. Thank you.
All right, thank you. On the telephone, yes?
Hello, good afternoon.
To you, sir.
Allegation is that he was in full military on the outskirts overlooking what's going on.
Who was?
The PM.
Well, we have information about that. If you have the information, if you have the facts about that, present it to us, but we don't have that. Okay, Ella, talk to me.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hey, my brother, how you doing?
Yeah, I've got to get through. You know what? For a few days now, my good friend Al is trying to connect Henley and Partners, that's the company or the agent that gave Choksi his passport.
All right.
And he's trying to connect that some way to the UWP, but he doesn't know how to explain himself.
Okay.
So I explained it for him. That's what he's been trying to do for days, but he cannot explain himself. But what I must tell Al, when he got his passport in 2017, he was all cleared.
Okay.
So Henley and Partners did their work. And that's what he needs to know. But he's having a hard time fighting the English language, trying to explain it to you.
I see that earlier, that he was really struggling with that. 449-309-590. Al, try again, eh? Hello, talk to me.
That is just deliberate, trying to insert confusion.
Okay.
It's deliberate, trying to insert confusion. And Mr. Linton, I see you ignore me. I'm going to trouble you at least twice a month between you and me.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Mr. Mr. Tyrone Anthony? What are you talking about?
He wants you back on the program of between you and me.
But he's still there. He's still there.
Are you still there? I think he's gone. I think he's gone.
Nuke pale.
Okay, 1:59, Dominica. We have to kind of wrap it up. Lennox, any final comments before you go?
Final comments. Get Dominica out of this.
Okay.
Prosecutors of Mehul Choksi in Dominica, go to the court and sign a consent order that the man be returned to Antigua from where he was kidnapped and forced against his will to come to Dominica. He did not enter Dominica illegally. The police received him into Dominica, and it is immoral for the very same police authority to have him in court now, turning and twisting him. And going through all sorts of the delays, the normal delays of the court process and so on, saying that they're prosecuting him for illegal entry when they're the ones who received him from his kidnappers. It is perverse, it is corrupt, it is wrong, it is contrary to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and we should get out of that. It is time for the government to do the right thing, and the right thing is simply to have this man return to Antigua where he's a citizen, and where he's facing extradition charges for his return to an extradition proceeding for his return to India as an accused person.
Lennox Linton, we'll see you again sometime soon,
I imagine. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.